Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
We return, and we say goodbye to Sheriff McDonald. Thank you, sir. And I actually say hello to batting second in the Team Choka lineup.
So state representative tonight and batting second at the charity event.
That is correct. Well. Which I might add, we'll steal just a couple of moments here. Representative Deal and I, Miles, if you didn't know it, we competed in the third annual
Hug Charity Softball Tournament
celebrity,
in Abington.
Yes, celebrity softball.
And I see two celebrities on the South Shore.
They actually put almost three celebrities on the team.
From Boston Bruins. Oh, yeah, on our team we had Kevin. We had Dave Russo. Dave Russo, by the way, is hilarious. I mean,
he was a phenomenal athlete.
Yeah, I mean, he was covering all the outfield positions at once. It was insane.
Kevin, I heard you went 0 for 3 with 3 strikeouts. Is that true?
I actually have a witness who's right here who saw me. Actually, I came close to hitting it over the fence.
Yeah. No, all I recall from Kevin's at-bats were major hits, so he is back for next year on the team for sure. That's all I can say.
You might be confusing me with a colleague of mine here at ATD, with Steve Burns, who he was a great fielder, but you know, he's like a Jackie Bradley Jr. kind of guy, where he got occasional hits.
Jackie Bradley's in the International League All-Star game on Wednesday night.
Let me know when he makes it to, you know, the Brock Holt status, and he's an All-Star. But no, we came within an out.
One out away from making the playoff. Yep.
If we tied it, well, they would have had it been some kind of a tiebreaker.
Right.
The same two teams went in.
And last year we were one game or whatever away from.
But we were actually an out. It was tied going into the bottom of the sixth because we played six. And we came that close. And we had it was kind of a hodgepodge team. We had not practiced as much as we did last year. Dave Trokas was our captain, and we made it work. We actually knocked off an undefeated team.
Yeah.
We did well.
And it was a hot day.
It was a hot.
I drank.
Look at me. Burnt.
Six bottles of water. That was crazy, but it was fun.
I tell you, Jeff is quite the fielder.
So does the softball tour roll on with you, too?
Well, I will tell you. Actually, I was just invited by Peter Brown, who is one of our, he and his dad's business, Tiny and Sons Glass. Peter called me up tonight, asked me, I guess there's a special softball tournament. There's a game in August, and asked me if I'd want to compete, because he actually saw pictures of one of my best hits during that tournament and felt that I would be an asset to that team.
And can I tell you the human side of that whole thing is that what Alex Bezanson is doing is raising money for the Hug Foundation, which ultimately goes to help people in the community. There's a woman that used to work at the Abington COA, Council on Aging, mm-hmm. Valerie Laughlin, okay, who had to retire at the age of 32 with a rare disease. And what Alex is doing is, with some of that money, trying to help, help her personally, help other people with problems. There's another woman, I don't want to give her name out. I know Valerie's happy because she's the face of that rare organization. But other people who had brain surgery that needed a railing put in on their house outside steps, he went in and did that with some of that money. So this is going directly to help people in his community and beyond, and that's what it's all about, really.
Fantastic stuff.
It was good stuff, and it's a lot of fun. And you would think, though, you know, playing four games, you'd be like, they flew. They definitely, the time flew, and it was a great time to look forward to it. But that's not why the representative is here. He's actually here to kind of give us an update in regards to an initiative that I believe he's co-chair. There was something that was announced. We had one of your colleagues, Sean O'Connell, on a couple of weeks ago. She was kind of giving us some conversation about where things stand with the tank the gas tax tank the gas tax
initiative, Kevin.
Yeah, and that it has evolved, and I believe you can kind of take us to.
I can, but can you give me a chance to sidetrack for 1 second?
Yeah,
I want to first of all thank the sheriff Joe McDonald for coming in And talk about one of the best people to put on that governor's commission to for opiate abuse. He and Mayor Carpenter were on that task force. Mayor Carpenter and Joe McDonald, Sheriff Joe McDonald, came to Abington about 3 weeks ago, also hosted by Alex Bezanson for a special community forum. We were also joined by John Keenan, who's the state senator and on the Senate
Who is
special
going to be
committee.
On at 7 o'clock.
Great. So John is an expert in the opiate issues, yep. prescription drug tracking.
We're going to talk about Bill S1161, and that's the one I believe that is for monitoring prescription drug tracking.
And he's been a champion of that from the get-go.
This, and we're going to talk actually about the public hearing that they have tomorrow.
Right.
And, then, I don't know if you have details on that at all.
No, I'll let him speak on that. But I just want, you know, again, in the community, I just want people to know what was going on, too. Register of Probate Matt McDonough came in, talk about, you know, the court situation with drug courts and things like that. But we also had special people like Susan Silva from East Bridgewater, mm-hmm. you know, and Miles can tell you all about the work she does at EB Hope. She was the model, and I wanted her to come to that event because I think she's the model for what Abington and other communities can do. They've put together a coalition of the police, the fire, the churches, the town departments like schools, senior center, veterans agents, everybody who's exposed to people who are potentially exposed to becoming addicted, and they have tried to rescue them before they get hooked. Mm-hmm. And that's just one of the parts of the puzzle that we have to do. And she was an excellent spokesperson for that. Linnell Cox in East Bridgewater has hand-delivered hope. She does a great job. And, you know, she is out there actually raising money to bring food into people at Pine Street Inn, to bring clothing, basically help them while they're dealing, you know, with major problems and at least reduce one stress on them.
And Linnell has a motorcycle run coming up July 25th, Ride for Hope, Not Dope.
Right.
And that's going to be at the Commercial Club. So Linnell and Sue. Sue's done a fantastic job as well in the community of East Bridgewater and local other towns as well.
And having Miles in here is great because he promotes that stuff on, you know, the East Bridgewater...
East Bridgewater Hub.
Hub, exactly, which is a great resource for that information. And that's the thing. This is all about what you can do locally. You can point to the state and ask for them to provide a lot of things, which they are, mm-hmm. and I can just touch on a few things briefly. You know, one is that they're going to create in the last budget we created a municipal naloxone bulk purchase trust fund. What does that mean? That's the Narcan, the stuff that people can administrate right on site to somebody to get them out of an opiate coma type
thing. We've seen more communities entrust their firefighter, paramedics, and their police, and I think even there's some communities that are trying to stretch it out to schools.
Right. And exactly. And the problem with the police, as they've told me, is that for a long time, only the ambulances were getting new naloxone or Narcan supplies when they went to the hospitals. And police, if they administered it, they had to buy a whole other one. And the cost went up significantly in the last year or so. So this is going to allow police to now refill their stock, and the state will take care of that. But on top of that, I don't know if you remember this with Bill Carpenter, but when he first, you know, started making a run for mayor, one of the things he talked about was his work for Independence Academy, creating mm-hmm. that high school that allowed kids with addiction problems to finish high school.
It was actually the fourth one. There was not one on the South
exactly,
Shore.
Exactly.
And he was one of a group of folks who worked to have that brought here, and it's actually in Brockton.
Steve Tolman, who was a senator at the time, still a supporter of it as head of AFL-CIO. Congressman Stephen Lynch, huge supporters of this thing. And so now there's actually going to be two new high schools in the state. So they went from four, now we're going to have six, like the Independence Academy in Brockton, that will help kids finish their high school career while dealing with addiction problems. And those teachers aren't just English and math teachers. They're also specialists in addiction. So something that's really critical. I think, you know, what the state is doing is great. What the governor has planned ahead, I don't know if the sheriff touched on this, but one of the things he talked about in the House, the House and Senate Republicans met with him last week. He told us he is looking to file a subsequent bill. One of the things he's hoping to do is a 72-hour hold for people who have had Narcan administered, because what's happening is once they get the Narcan and they're recovered, they go to the hospital, they're released, they go back out, look for another fix, and it ultimately has like a multiplier effect on their body and can actually cause them to overdose right then and there. So what they're trying to do is a 72-hour hold. And one of the young kids that was at that forum that Alex hosted in Abington, specifically said, "You can do whatever you want. You let these kids out after a a Narcan fix thing or recovery, they're going to kill themselves after this. So you've got to keep them under observation or something." So there is a move towards that as well. I just want to
is that is that something difficult?
Could
to
be a
do?
Constitutional issue. Again, we're going to have to talk. There's going to be obviously a lot of debate on this as far as constitutional rights.
Debate's
or
good.
Or is this somebody harmed to themselves potentially that you do have the right to hold them? Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I mean, it's certainly not going to go forward without debate, and that's what the legislature is there for.
What would you like to segue to?
Well, I apologize. You cut me off. I think you were talking about something that Sean and I were working on. Is that
you're still working on? It's tank taxes for
the Olympics.
Yes. So there is a website, tanktaxesforolympics.com. Very easy, rolls off the tongue, right? No, but you know what it is? It's a continuation of the work last year from the ballot question where we, we're working to, we actually did succeed in repealing the indexing of the gas tax to inflation. And what we're doing now is that same team that worked so hard to get the
Pauly
signatures.
Pauly award-winning team.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
It's not just the team.
The one thing that to just kind of jump quickly into, it's really great to see with this initiative, so many people from so many different walks of life and political parties working together on this one.
Yeah, it's funny. We were featured on public television in Boston just recently because we partnered with Evan Falchuk, who is the head of the United Independent Party, ran for governor last time.
Got 3%.
Which makes his party official. And what he's doing is he drafted the language that we think is the language needed to protect taxpayers from Olympic overruns, which we know since 1960 there are guaranteed overruns with Olympics, and it's to the tune of billions of dollars. We, as a state, I think can't afford to not have this taxpayer protection in place. And so it's funny, the governor, the Senate president, the speaker have all agreed they want a taxpayer protection in place. Even the organizers, Boston 2024, said we'd like to have this in place, yet no one has stepped forward to actually implement what we put forward.
Well, I think the Boston City Council has also said that you cannot seek taxpayer dollars without at least coming to someone like us or...
Yeah, well, the problem is those are tend to be holes in the Titanic because, honestly,
take out water.
Yeah, if you don't think politicians are ultimately going to vote yes to fund big things if they think there's some sort of, benefit for them, that you're crazy, right? This is Massachusetts we're talking about. So that's the thing. The language that we have says we will allow for money to be used for transportation upgrades. Those would have to be approved by the Secretary of Transportation anyway and align with what the needs are of the Massachusetts and Boston citizens. But what we are saying also is that if you want to have the Olympics, just have them not rely on taxpayer funding of overruns. And it's been done before. In 1984, Los Angeles hosted the Olympics without the taxpayer guarantee, which is what the USOC and the IOC require you sign. They didn't sign that because they had leverage at the time, and they ultimately delivered a successful, financially successful, and very popular Olympics. So we think we can have it in Boston, and we can have it all without the taxpayers paying for it.
Do you agree, Miles?
I certainly agree on that. What maybe some of the opposition to your group, what are some of those people saying about your initiative here?
The funny thing is we actually haven't really received any opposition yet. I mean, the opposition has really been just foot dragging by the organizations to do anything like they promised, which was to put these protections in place. So what we're doing is we're basically doing the job of the legislature, because I actually filed an amendment in the House that would have allowed this protection to be in place. It was voted down, voice vote. Senator Hedlund put the Senate version of that amendment in place, was rejected. And so what we're doing is, just like last year, we are relying on the people of Massachusetts to protect themselves, the hundreds of organizers, the thousands of volunteers that ultimately made the gas tax ballot question work. And by the way, we were outspent 31-1, $3 million versus about $90,000 we had to fight them. And yet we prevailed because we had true grassroots people working out there to spread the message and ultimately vote in favor of themselves, protecting themselves on a gas tax that would have gone up every year without a vote. And now we've got an Olympics, which in just 7 or 8 years could potentially throw a big dig type 2 debt on us. And that's
right.
Terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it started out in single digits when you talk about billions of dollars, wasn't it? $5, $6, $7 billion.
Well, and it
grew.
I think it was like two billion.
Like 2 billion.
And it ended at 22 or something
like that.
And
it slowly grew. And it now sits looming at like, what, $20, $22 billion right now that we're slowly trying to pay down.
It's like that cheesecake after dinner. You know,
the first bite
seemed great, but then, you know, after a while, you need some coffee to wash that down or something. But no, the crazy thing about the Olympics is we know that the average overrun's 179%. So to basically take 80% of what the budget is and throw that on as an overrun. And the budget right now is $14.5 billion. So just imagine throwing 80% of that on top of the taxpayers afterwards.
Well, the word is that it would cost $4.6 billion. That's what they're saying in Plan 2. Plan V.
Yeah,
two.
Version 2.
But version
they,
2. But
excluding and about stand, everything they can exclude.
And we stand to make, what, $200 million? Is that the profit that you spend $4.6 billion and ultimately that this could make $4.8 billion.
That also includes hundreds of millions of tax credits. Now they've switched from actual cash funding the Olympics to tax credits. They're trying to sort of hide the risk that we as taxpayers will pay by saying it'll come out as tax credits. Well, a tax dollar that's not paid is the same as a tax dollar spent.
I am curious. I haven't seen the plan. I have asked, but I haven't heard if there is an expenditure, if there is a paragraph in that plan that details what will be spent on security. Let's not forget that we have seen incidents, even as recent as a couple of months ago, with an individual, a group of individuals who were plotting something. We're 2 years removed from the Boston Marathon bombing.
Well, you know, don't worry, Kevin. We're all set because that money is not going to be state money. It'll be federal money, as if we don't pay federal taxes to pay for that, right? But the initial dollar amount that's been pegged is about $1 billion. But we've heard anywhere to potentially $2 billion because it's not just bringing in federal, troops or operatives to sort of weed that terrorism possibilities out. They are actually going to park themselves here for a few years in advance to set up surveillance, set up tracking people. So it's a multi-billion-dollar effort that will ultimately, again, rely on federal dollars that we pay into. And it's just an enormous, enormous cost for the entire Olympics. And I'm not saying we can't do it, but we should have it privately funded. If private investors are going to make money off this whole thing, they should be at risk for the overruns, not the taxpayer.
I like it. Anything you want to say in closing while you have 30 seconds?
Yeah, well, you know, the other thing is I just made the headlines today in the paper on an issue at RMV. I think people should really keep an eye on that. The governor finally got the controls he was looking for as far as increasing the MassDOT board from 7 to 11 members, and he got his special fiscal control management board for the T. But that said, I have a review of 30 audits from the last 5 years. I've been putting that out there, and there are some significant things we need to take a look at. Go to my website, jeffdiehl.com, GeoffDiehl.com, and you'll see the link today to the story that has to do with some possible vulnerabilities with RMV. VIDs.
We need to have you in here for a longer segment, maybe in the next couple of weeks. We'll have you back in.
Maybe after a softball game? I don't know.
What the heck?
Great.
State Representative Jeff Diehl, and again, website?
GeoffDiehl.com.
We're going to step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
95.9 WATD-FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.